The Defense Department needs to figure out how to make do with less, even if the president gets what he wants in his 2013 budget. The proposal would cut defense spending by $5 billion when compared with this year's budget. It would also shift money around in a number of DOD accounts. Joining us with a view of what this would all mean is defense analyst Jim McAleese, president of McAleese & Associates. Jim, great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so a lot of this is falling on procurement. Give us a rundown, if you will, on what this will all mean if this budget goes through.
Well, to step back first and take probably the 40,000-foot view is probably the wisest approach, and then let's kind of bore down on some of the issues like procurement that I know your listeners care about. The very first message that I took away when I looked at the president's 2013 budget request is that you're going to find a focus on defense, but the defense issue is clearly going to be behind job creation, education, American innovation, which is returning, reversing outsourcing and bringing jobs back to the United States, infrastructure, the crumbling roads. And then you're really going to find the Department of Defense, which is about 50% of the entire federal discretionary budget, you're really going to find it discussed in a section that the president would refer to as the American values, everyone pays their fair share.
So in other words, we have looked at, as a nation, I guess, or at least as an administration, looked at guns and butter and picked butter.
Yes, sir. I was trying to be as polite as I could to come to that conclusion, but that is the bottom line. So fundamentally, the department is being showcased as everyone pays their fair share, and the department is the crown jewel in demonstrating that. I thought that the secretary and the chairman, General Dempsey, had done a particularly strong job testifying in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee on Tuesday, and of course the House Armed Services Committee, which was particularly vocal in expressing their concerns yesterday. As you know, Tom, obviously, the secretary and the chairman will go down to talk to the appropriators today before the House Appropriations Committee for Defense. So I think we're going to see a lot more programmatic discussion. But the last 2 days has really been the big budget rollout, taking time to absorb it, seeing where it's going, and really hearing from Congress' initial reaction in terms of some of the structural and policy issues. When you start then looking at the department's budget and starting to neck down, what does it mean to the listeners? It means two things. Number one, it fundamentally means the cuts. Obviously, the department under the Budget Control Act has agreed to $489 billion. It's the law, kind of like Miss Utility before you dig call. It is the law. And there will be $489 billion of cuts, but over the next 10 years from 2012 to 2021. But it's cuts to the previously planned growth of the department, which includes a significant amount of upside. So the bottom line for your listeners is two things. Number one, put it into perspective. When you hear the cuts are very big, but it fundamentally represents the flatlining of the DOD base budget. Obviously, the OCO, the war funding for Iraq, which is now completed, and Afghanistan, which is beginning to transition, is going to be coming down significantly. But the base budget, as a practical matter, look at it in terms of being flatlined, number one. Number two, forfeiting the future growth. The department will have to do more with the same amount. And then also look at it in terms of the money that actually Congress did give the department in 2012. Not the plans, but what actually DOD Comptroller Bob Hale has in the checking account for Secretary Panetta. And what you're going to find is we're going to go from the 2012 base budget that Congress actually funded, which is about $531 billion, and we're going to see about a 1% decrease, which is $5 billion, and we're going to drop down to about a $525 billion base. And the hope, this is a point that you can't really reinforce enough, the hope is that the department will then be able to stay at about a $525 billion baseline going forward for the next several years. This is critical because this is why Secretary Panetta, I believe, makes such a distinction between the difference between our current situation versus the post-Reagan drawdown. After Korea, after Vietnam, and of course after the post-Reagan drawdown, the defense budget, the world was declared safe for democracy. We disarmed. And our defense budget, you know, apples to apples, constant year dollars, always plunged down to about $400 billion. So the bottom line is, from the listener's perspective, the plan that was delivered by the president and, of course, the secretary and the chief this past Monday, in plans for the forfeiture of the future planned growth, but that we should be able to stay, all other things going perfectly, the stars aligning, we should be able to stay at about $100 billion in the base budget above where we have historically slipped down to after major combat situations.
So we're speaking with Jim McAleese, a defense analyst at McAleese & Associates, the principal there. So what you're saying then is that there is precedent for this situation.
Absolutely. And the good news is that the department is obviously going to have to do more with less, but it is, I am hopeful that the less will be significantly more than we've seen in the past drawdowns. So that's the very first thought to take away. There is significant upside to the department in terms of being involved in being the first of the major bill payers relative to the rest of the federal government, number one. Now, number two, when you start breaking it out, you immediately, as the crafty, seasoned Washington insider, you immediately went to the individual types of the funding accounts. And what you really see, I've already explained, you know, we're kind of down by $5 billion. How did they make the cuts, and what accounts were impacted? They really did about, Tom, they did about four things. The first thing they did is they went in and they did program terminations and program restructurings. Now, there's only a handful of major program, what I would call program kills. These are things like the Northrop Grumman RQ, basically the Global Hawk Block 30, okay, or the Defense Weather Satellite System, or the C-27J, you know, Army airlift aircraft.
Sounds like things that fly.
Yes, sir. Actually, to be quite honest, the Air Force was the hardest hit. The Army and their total budget went up by about just under $1 billion. The Navy's base budget came down by about just under $1 billion. But the Air Force took about almost a $5 billion cut in terms of their baseline.
We've been talking about the 2013 budget request that is making the rounds today on Capitol Hill. And, Jim, there are some winners and losers among the specific accounts in the armed forces.
Looking at it from the holistic perspective, and then let's dive down into the services. There's no doubt that basically when you look at the $260 billion worth of cuts, which are the 2013 to 2017 allocation of the total $489 billion of cuts that the department has already agreed to, what you're basically seeing is the department had no place other to go than the procurement accounts, right? So you really see the short-term bill payers being the procurement accounts, and then this is coupled with an IOU. There's an IOU in terms of force structure reductions, in other words, shrinking down the size of the Army, shrinking down a little bit the size of the Marine Corps to free up, to move away from the sustained too large counterinsurgency engagements. When that force structure reduction occurs, it's planned for 2016, 2017. That should be able to free up additional funding that should then be able to go back into the procurement accounts. But there's no doubt when you look at the numbers and you say, hey, the total top of the line went down in the base budget by about 1%, which is $5 billion. Where did it go? The first $6 billion came out of procurement. So the DOD checkbook goes from about $105 billion in procurement in 2012 now. It's going to go down to about $99 billion in 2013. It's not catastrophic, but it is noticeable. The RDT&E accounts, in terms of the development programs, generally remains flat, which is the byproduct of pushing the production of programs to the right, the procurement. Naturally, you have to keep the design teams intact longer, which costs you more money over the long term, but is inescapable. Interestingly enough, and this is the importance of the BRAC, your previous coverage this morning was talking about the reaction to the two BRACs. The plan to go into a BRAC in 2013-2015 has allowed the department to say, hey, why are we spending money on military construction, the MILCON money, immediately when we're going to be, before we've decided what facilities are going to stay open versus what facilities are going to close. So it has effectively allowed the department to propose. Remember, the department proposes, but Congress disposes. In terms of basically a construction holiday at least in 2013 until the first BRAC is determined. The big winner, Tom, is obviously the operations and maintenance. The secretary did follow through on his commitment that says, hey, we're going to be a smaller force, we're going to get leaner, but we are going to be ready to fight. And I was actually quite pleased. The operations and maintenance accounts, which really pays for the readiness, goes up from about $197 billion, actually up by $12 billion in the base budget, all the way up to about $209 billion. So to put it into perspective, the O&M grew. That's going to be great news for the professional services contractors. Most of your big programs in terms of for things like V-22 for the Marine Osprey slipped to the right. F-35 orders slipped to the right. But the good news was in terms of the actual program kills, that was only a very small proportion. So hopefully those programs in terms of that capability you're going to need for the fleet are still going to be money into the bank. The forces are just going to get it a little slower. When you get into the individual services, you begin to notice a number of trends. Obviously, the Army was the biggest bill payer, not in terms of their top line, but in terms of the modernization accounts. And so you're going to find good news in terms of, you know, Army helicopters continued to hold up well. There was a surge in, you know, Boeing's Apache block
sure.
production, but at the cost of Sikorsky UH-60s. There was good news for communication electronics. That's great for GD, great for Harris, great for ITT. There was very bad news, though, in terms of wheeled tactical vehicles.
Okay. We've got about 60 seconds. What about the Navy, which is being pointed a little bit more toward China than it has been?
Well, importantly, the Navy will tell you that they're going to give up about $16 billion in aircraft and about $10 billion in ships. The good news, though, that remember, that's all forfeited future growth. The good news is they lost about 16 ships coming up, but they were able to salvage most of the classes. Great news, for example, the CVN 79 order for Huntington Ingalls, that's going to stay in 2013. The surface combatants, DDG 51s for General Dynamics, and obviously Huntington Ingalls did well. Lockheed benefits from that as well. The big loser there, Tom, was the joint high-speed vessel. They'll lose about 8 of those ships. That's manufactured
sure.
by Austal down in Alabama.
So what the world basically needs is a good billion-dollar aircraft carrier.
That would buy you 1/11th of the CVN-79 because they are very, very capable, but they are expensive. They are truly national assets.